KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have mostly clear skies and 27 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today, a high around 55. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the latest area news. A district court judge yesterday sentenced a Glenwood man to life in prison for the 2011 death of his infant son. According to the Daily Nonpareil, Judge Mark Evalov handed down the life sentence against 36-year-old Jason Curtis and ruled out the possibility of parole. Curtis was convicted on a charge of first-degree murder connected to the death of his 5-month-old son, Jackson Curtis, who died July 14th of 2011 as the result of head injuries. The jury decided the boy's injuries were inflicted by his father. Their verdict was reached in February. Assistant Pottawatomie County Attorney Amy Zacharias said the sentence wasn't a surprise because first-degree murder carries a mandatory sentence. During the hearing, Pottawatomie County Attorney Matt Wilbur noted that his office offered a plea deal of child endangerment causing death, which would have carried a 50-year sentence and no mandatory minimum, meaning that Curtis likely would have been out in 11 to 12 years with good behavior. But Wilbur told the paper that Curtis wouldn't take responsibility for his actions, and the verdict, along with the judge's decision, was the consequence. Curtis pleaded guilty in 2010 to a charge of child endangerment stemming from injuries his then 4-month-old daughter had suffered. For that plea, he received a deferred judgment, which meant the charge would have been erased had he stayed out of trouble. Sheriff's officials in Fremont County say a Shenandoah woman has been indicted for the theft of funds of the United States by a bank employee. The charge against 39-year-old Tiffany Ann Stanley stems from an investigation into a robbery at the Great Western Bank in Riverton on November 17th of 2012. The indictment handed down in U.S. Federal District Court for the Southern District of Iowa on March 27th lists the amount of the theft in excess of $25,700. Stanley was arrested and later released with orders to appear in court for her trial on June the 10th. The Omaha branch of the FBI assisted the Fremont County Sheriff's Office in conducting the investigation. The Cass County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on Thursday of an Atlantic man on a Department of Natural Resources warrant. 42-year-old Donald Lee Clint was taken into custody on a warrant for theft in the second degree and obstruction of justice. Clint was taken to the Cass County Jail where he's being held on $7,000 bond. Atlantic Mayor Dave Jones on Friday backed off earlier comments that the city council would be entering into a closed session during their meeting this coming Wednesday to discuss matters pertaining to City Administrator Doug Harris. Jones said the revelation during last week's meeting that the council would be in violation of Iowa's open records laws by not consulting with Harris and asking if he wanted that meeting caused him to rethink how personnel matters should be discussed.
After the meeting, I consulted with our city attorney, and it was determined that the closed meeting discussion over personnel matters should be limited to an annual performance evaluation or disciplinary matters. The city attorney thought it was appropriate for him and the mayor to personally discuss with Doug employment issues, and that a statement could be placed in this personnel file. There would be no need for a public or close discussion on the matter. And furthermore, I said, I admit I'm to having a different opinion with Doug Harris, the city administrator, some area of the city business and philosophy, basically economic development. Doug and I have had discussions regarding our differences. These discussions have been civil and constructive. Additionally, we have since covered the issue that was to be discussed at the April 3rd meeting. I look forward to an effective working relationship moving forward.
Jones also admitted yesterday there was an unannounced, unpublished meeting of the city's Personnel and Finance Committee on March the 28th, nearly a week prior to the April 3rd meeting.
And basically went in to discuss if there was anything that needed to be going further. And basically, no decisions were made out of that. Mm-hmm. No decisions were made out of that to get rid of anybody at all. I mean, that was the topic was, we got some issues, and we need to discuss it on the committee, and the committee come out with, you know, the whole idea, we want to get in front of the council, let the council see what's going on, and have things come out of that, and then, according to closed session, we can't do that. But somewhere down the road, we'll probably have the council, we'll do something with the council, and set some more where it should be at type thing.
In other news, police in Council Bluffs are investigating recent incidents of copper theft. Three such incidents this past week resulted in a combined loss of $32,000. Authorities say thieves took copper from a business and two empty houses. The thefts were reported on Thursday. Glencoe Electric reported copper tubing from two air conditioning units valued at $10,000 was stolen from the 500 block of 10th Street sometime between Wednesday and Thursday. Department of Housing and Urban Development reported copper wire and line valued at $12,000 was stolen from a vacant home in the 2800 block of Avenue E sometime between April 5th and Thursday. And officials say Gene Edwards of Council Bluffs reported copper wire and pipe valued at $10,000 were stolen from a vacant home in the 2600 block of 8th Avenue sometime between Wednesday and Thursday. May recall back on April 1st, we mentioned that authorities in Council Bluffs were asking residents to keep an eye out for unusual activity in areas where homes or businesses are vacant or foreclosed, as those are the types of places where thieves target air conditioning units for copper tubing and the thefts are happening in broad daylight. Officials had said 34 air conditioning units were reported to have been damaged or stolen, and most of them in a concentrated area since January 1st. No arrests have been made in connection with any of those incidents. No injuries were reported following two separate accidents Friday in Montgomery County. An accident occurring at 2nd and Oak Streets in Red Oak at around 3:40 p.m. happened when a car driven by 16-year-old Erica Sherman of Red Oak rear-ended a pickup driven by 16-year-old Kendra Hardy, also of Red Oak. According to the Red Oak police, the pickup was traveling westbound on Oak Street and had stopped at the intersection with 2nd, intending to make a left turn. Sherman didn't notice the truck had come to a complete stop. The resulting collision caused $3,400 damage altogether, with a 2000 Pontiac driven by Sherman sustaining the brunt of the damage. There were no citations issued. Earlier in the day on Friday, an accident occurred that involved a 2009 Chevy Cobalt driven by 17-year-old Cheryl Halcock of Elliott. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office said the teen was traveling north on County Road M63 at around 7:45 a.m. when several deer entered the road. When Halcock took evasive action in an effort to miss the animals, she lost control of the car, which entered the west ditch, crashed through a field fence, and became stuck in an alfalfa field owned by Judy Sandin. Damage from the mishap was estimated at $3,000 altogether. There were no citations issued. In our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Florence Christofferson, age 87, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. Services for Florence Christofferson will be today at 10 o'clock at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. John Headley, age 81, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday in Mission, Texas, a week ago that is. Funeral services for John Headley will be held today at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. James Jensen, age 72, of Kimberly City, Missouri, and formerly of Audubon, died December 20th. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for James Jensen will be today at 1 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. James Schumann, age 88, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Memorial Services for James Schumann will be held Monday at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Carol Joyce Christensen, age 78, of Harlan, died Thursday at Murzhu Medical Center. Funeral services for Carol Christensen will be Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Deborah Studelberg, age 47, of Exira, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Deborah Studelberg will be on Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the Eastside Christian Church in Council Bluffs. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. And Wanda Jewell, age 76, of Harlan, died Thursday in Council Bluffs. Memorial services for Wanda Jewell will be held Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.